I was probably like you all, pretty perplexed by the events of the last week or so. And so I journaled, I think, probably 3 or 4 days ago. I said, Father, this national turbulence following the death of George Floyd and the ensuing riots in cities across the nation, and all of this following Pentecost Sunday, what would you like to say about this, Father? And what do you think he said? The first thing he said was, remember my love. I was kind of shocked by that. Maybe you would have thought of that, but remember my love. I thought, cities are burning. things are being destroyed, and you want us to remember your love. And then he said, remember also my love for you. Again, Lord, I don't think it's about me. It's about people's lives and destruction and anarchy. And no, remember my love for you. Remember that my love is at the foundation to all that I am. It's at the foundation to all that I choose, to all that I do. It's the foundation to all that I refrain from doing. We pray and beg God to move. He refrains from doing things that we think he should be doing. But it's his love that's at the foundation of those things. Remember my love. Leif Hetland, some of you know, he teaches with Global Awakening. He travels the world. I think he's taught someone being rooted and grounded in love. I've never heard it before, but within the last week or so, listen to it. When you get comfortable with love, you get comfortable with God, he says. Some of us are scared, scared of God because we know little of the love of the Father. But when our foundations become rooted and grounded in him, things change, don't they? Everything changes, and that begins to happen. We baptized last week. We went up to PA to baptize my niece, and she's really the black sheep of the family, somebody that everybody knows, left the Lord for many, many years, came back after 40 years, never married, just kind of became really deeply resentful, bitter, some things that happened in childhood, and asked to be baptized. And so this is a shaking inside, turning, the love of God pouring. Didn't know what to do with all of it, but a beautiful time. Our whole family got together, all the kids and all of her aunts and uncles. I have a lot of siblings. And so we're all together and just remembering the baptism of Jesus. Do you remember what happened at his baptism? Three things happened at the baptism of Jesus. It's kind of like a day like today. Heavens opened. Remember that? Heavens opened. It wasn't a dark sky. It wasn't a closed heaven. When he got baptized, heavens opened. What else happened? What was the second thing? Dove came down, dove descended. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested on him, never left him. He never, in all his ministry, even up to the end, never became disturbed, distressed, troubled. I get troubled when people disagree with me. I mean, the Spirit rested on him, stayed with him. And then the Father, what did he say? What did he say? This is my beloved son. Do you realize this is at his baptism? He did nothing. He did no miracles, no signs, no prophetic things, no acts of amazing things that followed. But he never, this is my beloved son. He must have loved his heart. He grew up, you know, favor with God and man, obeyed his parents, probably as much as he knew how. Learn obedience through correction, but this is my, and so my aunt, you know, did nothing. All she did was repent and I need to be baptized. This is my beloved daughter. Well, how beautiful she is. I didn't do anything. There's a lot ahead, but it's a lot of love that's going to clear out away all the debris. Love poured into her heart. Just a beautiful time. My beloved daughter. It's my beloved son. Eudokeo, to find pleasure and to be pleased with, to enjoy, to prefer. He doesn't just love sacrificially, he loves to be with us. He approves, consents to an acceptance, benevolence, favor, favorable disposition. Well pleased, think of it, well pleased. There are a lot of things that we don't like about ourselves, let alone our spouse or our children, or things that we get irritated with, or, you know, well pleased. Favorable, loves to be with. Before Jesus felt ministry pressures, he felt the Father's pleasure. We are tempted to feel pressure in order to get pleasure from him. We feel the pressure of ministry to do things, to get affirmation, to get his pleasure. Whoa. Have you felt this recently? Do you experience it regularly? We did in worship, for sure, this morning, didn't we? We experienced something here precious, the precious presence of the Lord, pleasure of the Father over us. Some of you might be familiar with the story. I just heard it as we were watching the video. Leif Hetland, he gets an invitation in the Philippines, in Manila. The president of Philippines is going to be attending, but people from all over the world, and a bishop says, why don't you take 15 minutes of my time? And you can speak. So he says, oh, I get to speak. And then he says, oh, I get to speak. What am I going to say? So the anxiety, the stress comes in. And like 15 minutes before, he's in the car on the way to the conference. And he has this vision. Have any of you heard this before? Have any of you seen him? I've never. It's amazing. Amazing. He gets this vision, and while he's traveling to the conference, and he's playing basketball, and he is nothing. He's Scandinavian, so he's an American sport. He's never played basketball, but he's playing. And there's the opposing team is wearing black socks, black sneakers, black shorts. Everything's black. That's the enemy team, you know. Opposing. His team was colorful, international kind of team, and so they were. But the enemy was winning, down 87 to 89. So he has the ball, seconds left on the clock. The pressure's mounting. The enemy's coming toward him to block this shot, do whatever they can to stop it. Has to be three-pointer because it's the last seconds in order to win. And out from the corner of the stadium, Leif, that's my boy. That's my boy. And he turns. Papa, Papa. And it's like nothing else matters. His father says, that's my boy, he loves me. So he's just blown away by this. It's like, what? You know, and he said, Americans want to know, what did you win? You know, forget about the father, but just say, yeah, I hit the shot, but that wasn't important anymore. Didn't matter if he performed well. Didn't matter if he did it well. Didn't matter if he made it or he missed it. He was just having fun. Wow. To live like that, stress-free in your work, ministries, children, stress-free, loved. Don't have to perform. Don't have to do it well. Don't have to do it perfectly. Man, this is a different kind of life. Papa, Papa. That's freedom, isn't it? Our son Benjamin is almost 40 now. He's in high school. He ran cross country, and he was pretty good. He was kind of tall, long-legged, thin, and he wasn't, you know, the top 1%, but he was quite good. We didn't know much about cross country, but we go to one of his early matches, and he's, you know, what do you do there? It's like kind of like bicycling through the Alps or something. You know, you go by, and that's it. So we're wondering. So we're watching all the other parents. They're used to this, and so there's a wooded area, and we see him take off, and like 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, nobody's showing up, but I think they're coming. So here's where they're coming around the wood. And so sure enough, here comes two or three, some of the early, the fastest guys, there's always those on the team. And then a couple minutes later, here comes a whole group of others, and here our son Benjamin's in the middle of it. And I think we said something like, that's my boy. What did you say, dear? That's my boy. We love you, Ben. And the joke is in the family that when he heard that he was loved, that he just slowed down. He didn't have to kill himself anymore. He didn't have to, hey, I'm loved. Isn't it amazing? I'm loved. He didn't care. He didn't. That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my, you know, whatever the Lord has given, put into your hands. He loves what you're doing. He's not all that worried about what you're worried about. I mean, he is, but he loves. He's after your heart. He's after relationship. The last number of months, we've been doing Zoom prayer times 4 times a day for 3 weeks in a row leading up to Pentecost. And so 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, I was on at 6 in the evening. They gave me the nice time. Then at midnight, I don't know, they thought I was soft, I guess. But thank you. Appreciate that. this sense of the Lord's presence and just beautiful times together of listening, of hearing the Lord and hearing him speak, just a joy together, just to be in his presence and be together in those ways. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You know, brutal, the most brutal, you know, horrific, not just for a few minutes, but for hours and hours of suffering and torture. For the joy set before him, what kind of joy must that have been? What was the joy over? What was it about? The joy set before him, he endured all of that. And he never did anything wrong. And so it's a height of injustice. The joy set before him. The joy that he was pleasing the Father. The love for the Father. He knew he was not just obeying out of grudgingly, but he loved the Father so much he was willing to do this, go through whatever the Father wanted him to go through. The joy set before him. How about 1 billion souls? He knew there was 1 billion souls coming. there was that eternity in heaven, forever in fellowship. What I was going to say about the Holy Spirit, the last week before as we were praying together, preparation for Pentecost, praying during these times, the last week we were to listen for what the Lord, and share testimonies, just brief testimonies during that half hour of prayer. 2 Corinthians 14, last chapter, last verse. The love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. It was after this Corinthian church. There was a mess and all kinds of troubles, but this blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is amazing, sweet. When we learn to fellowship, we're listening, we're hearing, we're responding to the Holy Spirit, to what he's saying. And so Jesus could do these things for the joy set before him. Do we have that kind of joy? What kind of joy are you guys experiencing? Joy that the enemy is overplaying his hand? At Pentecost, when we thought things were going to break out, and the fire, Pentecostal fire is coming, and here we have cities burning instead. And wow, there's something coming. There's a revival of the word. A revival, the Lord is coming, he's stirring, but he's getting us ready. And he's preparing our hearts probably as much as he's preparing the hearts of those that are about to come. The joy set before us. Stories of courage, pictures of grace, prophetic voices, things happening during this pandemic that never would have happened otherwise. Things happening because of the burnings and the anarchy that would never have happened otherwise. The Lord is stirring something amazing. Did you see the Amazon delivery lady? Delivers a package, Amazon Prime truck out there, and it was all caught on video because of the house video, whatever. And so there's a sign on the door of the house that says there's a child in this house who's disabled. And so the video catches her just stop after she does the delivery, I believe. I didn't see didn't watch it closely, but she's standing there and just stops for a moment, just prays for this father and mother who have a disabled child. I mean, just beautiful, small kind of thing, but an amazing. It goes viral because people are caring for one another in ways that we might not have thought of caring before, loving people in new ways. What began with a worldwide pandemic has us praying with family all over the world. It's been suggested that we are probably, there's probably more prayer going up for more people and more nations of the world at any time in human history. If you can imagine, the Lord is moving. He loves when our hearts turn toward Him, and He can't help but set this up in a beautiful way. Some of you might have seen Watchman.org, this group of people just gathering. They're not name brand people. They're not some, I've never heard of half of them. Some of them are well known leaders, but they're just people. There's a beautiful family kind of atmosphere, and it's what we're experiencing this morning. But it's family too, in many nations of the world. I think there's 100 some nations that are represented. 24/7 worship the last 10 days before Pentecost, just day and night worship from Scandinavian countries, from Egypt, that worship teams from all over the world. It's just beautiful, beautiful. Can you imagine the Father's heart seeing this worship, seeing this crying out to Him, calling out to Him in prayer? Amazing, amazing things happening. Perfume of the nations. I want to close with prayer, but before I do, just when I asked, are we ready for revival? We need to be cleaned up and ready to go, don't we? We don't want to be messing around when it hits. We don't want to be halfway there and kind of scrambling to catch up. What are the causes of this virus spreading? Just thinking about it. You know, remember the early pictures from some other countries. They don't just wipe things down like we were doing. They were spraying stuff, spraying the whole rooms, and just disinfecting the atmosphere. And so, pretty amazing to watch. When something is unclean, something's contaminated or polluted, it's viral, it's causing disease in some way. When we discover a virus, something disease-causing, a sickness or an illness or infectious, we don't simply allow it to escape. We quarantine it, don't we? We isolate it. We confine it so that it doesn't spread. We keep it from spreading. And something new is happening in this country. Something new is happening in our community. Something new is happening in our hearts at the same time. And we're becoming hyper alert to what is infectious, to what contaminates, to what contributes to illness and even premature death. On a practical level and a heart level, Rosemary and I have been doing practicing something for the last 15 years or so. And I would say something like this: dear, I'm not always aware of how I affect you, and I don't want to be hurtful in any way unnecessarily. And so can you just let me know if there's something? So it's kind of that. And she's cautious, careful, doesn't like to remind me how, you know, offensive I might be at any given point. So she's very careful. But so I just, you know, would you, we're in this battle together, so could you help me win some of these battles? And so on a practical level, she told me a couple weeks ago, do you know how many times you touch your face? Are you aware of that? So she's holding up a mirror. I had no idea. You touch your face a lot. There it did it again. So we were in at Lowe's, thought we had to buy an appliance. We figured out later. But for a 10-15 minute conversation with a salesman in there, we had regarding the appliances, and so we're ready to walk out. We're walking out the store, and she just looks over, says, 10 times. I said, what? I touched my face 10 times in 10 minutes at Lowe's. 10 times. I thought, oh my goodness, 10 times. So I'm spreading infectious things all over my body and don't know it. And so, wow, learn to, talked about, and I wash my face, but sometimes I forget facial lotion, and so the skin's itchy. And so, man, the personal benefits of an international pandemic, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You learn to, you know, men need facial lotion too. So, but wow, we're discovering new things. We're discovering about our heart things that might be infectious that we didn't know that were there. What would it be like? We're family here. What would it be like if we helped each other get ready for revival by helping each other clean up, keep clean, keep our hearts free, hold up mirrors to each other? Is that okay for you to tell me when I do something that's hurtful or something that's offensive or something? That's family, isn't it? That's the beauty of family. It's the strength of family. It's the strength of caring for each other. It's not a judgment for one another, but it's learning to help each other, learning to be on high alert to what is infectious, what contaminates, what contributes to sickness. We've been praying last couple of days, and she keeps seeing this canopy over us.
So this is a picture that I've been getting when we get into prayer situations, and actually I was seeing it this morning too, right before church, as we were praying with the worship team. But just a sense, I don't know if you all have been in tents when it's raining, and you know, you're glad to be inside, but you can see the water is just really hanging heavy on the roof of the tent, and it looks like it's going to maybe come down, but it's just really heavy with water. And I've been seeing that, and I'm not sure what all the Lord is saying with that, but just a sense that we're crying out for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit, and just sensing that the water is heavy over the canopy over us. And I'm like, what? How do we get it to come down on us? You know, we don't want it. We don't want to be protected from that outpouring, from that water. It's there. It's huge. It's enormous. It's powerful. How do we have it come down upon us? And just in my praying and discerning over the last couple of weeks, I've just been sensing that prayer, just, you know, like our hands of prayer, but just prayer reaches heaven and reaches through that canopy, and that creates an opening for that outpouring. And so just really sensing that as we pray, the Lord is bringing that. And just, you know, even as we were praying with the worship team before, I was seeing the canopy again, and I was seeing like it was moving, you know, something, the water was moving. It was like, I don't know if it was like a stirring of the waters, you know, but it's, you know, it's not just stagnant water there. I mean, it's really moving, and the powerful presence of the Lord is that close to us. And so I'm just really sensing that.
Why don't we close with this? And the sense of, we were gathered the other night as our little house fellowship, a Zoom fellowship, micro church, I guess, but over Zoom. So we were reflecting on how do we respond to this crisis in the nation, and what are we to do, Lord? Was the question. What are we to do, Lord? So we said, let's just take a few minutes of silence. Just listen for what He wants to do. What He wants to say about it. And the word was two words. One is, it's the kindness of the Lord that brings repentance. It's His mercy. It's kindness. It's not confronting. It's not the judgment, as we heard this morning. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads repentance. The other one was the Chronicles passage. If my people called by my name humble themselves. So let's keep humbling ourselves, whatever that looks like. Seek my face. Let's keep seeking His face. Pray. Let's keep praying. Let's turn from our wicked ways. That term "wicked way" has a number of different meanings. It's really the ways that have a bad quality. Most of us wouldn't say we do things wicked. I hope. I mean, you haven't murdered anybody this week, but something dark, something evil, something unclean. Sometimes we border on those things, but this term doesn't mean that kind. It means ways that have a bad quality. Something of small worth, dealing with things that have small worth, that have no value. Something bad-tempered or a disagreeable way or displeasing or sad or having troubled ways. So it's, wow, that's a kind of the way we can live sometimes, can't it? And so we, Lord, let's keep being free from those ways that cause difficulty or pain unnecessarily or troubles, and keep doing it. I would like us to close, and I think Rosemary should lead us in prayer. But we're praying for ourselves, for our community, for our nation.
Lord Jesus, we just thank You that You are so close to us. Thank You, Lord, for what You purchased for us on the cross. Thank You, Lord, that Your blood has cleansed us is cleansing us and will continue to cleanse us from all our sins. Lord, we cry out to you and ask you to forgive us from our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. We plead your blood to come and wash us, make us new. Lord, we repent for known sins. Lord, we lift them to you and ask your forgiveness, Lord God. Cleanse us, Lord, from the things that we don't even know that we've done that are compromised. Lord, we just ask those sins of omission, of commission, Lord, those things that we don't even know that we've done, Lord, we ask for your cleansing. Lord, make us clean vessels. We thank you for your blood that was shed for us on the cross. We ask for your cleansing, Lord, and we ask for you to come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.